of Lake Effect Now. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Lake Effect's Bonnie North and our astronomy contributor Gene Creighton are in motion. We all are, actually, on a cosmic scale, but it's not necessarily motion we can easily notice.
They started a conversation last month about motion, and Gene Creighton picks up the story by explaining the kind of motion we're talking about.
So it's called proper motion, and it's this: if a star is close enough, we're going to see the movement of the star across the sky over a period of time. In some cases, you either need time on your hands or a very sensitive telescope to detect the minuscule amount that the star has moved.
Okay.
That's one motion. But of course, stars also move along our line of sight, so they can move toward us or away from us. And that you can't see directly, of course, because it's along the line of sight. You need another trick. What you need is to analyze the light from the star into all its colors, what we call a spectrum. And in the spectrum, so let's just clarify. A spectrum can look like a rainbow.
I was going to say a rainbow,
right?
Yeah.
So that is all the colors. However, all stars are going to have some dark lines in that continuum of spectrum because they're going to be chemical elements, in the atmosphere of the star. They're going to shop some of those photons, some of that particular color, because it excites them, literally. So far, so good?
Yes.
Good. All right, so those lines are in very specific wavelengths, and we know exactly to 10 significant figures what exactly that wavelength is. So sometimes you look at a star spectrum and you see, wait a second, that hydrogen line is supposed to be over here, and it's not. It's shifted. If it's shifted to the blue, in other words, to a shorter wavelength, it means that the star is coming toward us. And if it has shifted to the red, it means that it's going away from us. So you might have heard the term something is red shifted or blue shifted. Even if the line isn't anywhere close to blue or red, it just means it's gone to a shorter wavelength or a longer wavelength.
And that means the motion, the star is in motion.
That's right.
Right.
Along our line of sight.
Right.
And for most stars nearby especially, they're not moving all that fast. Stars are moving plenty fast. But to see that shift, they need to be moving significant amounts. So typically, you'd be looking at stars that are moving tens of miles per second, which sounds like a lot. It is a lot. But that would make a very small change. You would need a beautifully accurate spectrograph to measure something like that.
Because of the distances involved, right? It's
so far away? No, because the shift that you see is going to be very small. You need a high-resolution spectrograph to see that. The distance is a whole nother story. I always needed a pretty sensitive telescope to be able to get enough light to analyze it in a spectrum. But for a nearby star, that's not hard these days. We can do that. If the star is far and I can solve the issue of, can I get enough light to get a spectrum, then I might get lucky, because if that star is far enough, it's not just zooming through space like stars nearby are. It might be piggybacking on the expansion of space itself, in which case that is significant
speed,
or it looks like that, significant.
Yeah.
So now that star is going to look very redshifted.
Okay. Now, I have to ask, and this may be a silly question.
silly questions.
And it may be one that just shows my ignorance of the topic, but doesn't relativity play, it's like your position in space indicate how quickly things are moving and where you are in relation to things?
Most stars are not going to move fast enough for relativity to be an issue.
Okay.
And by the time they're moving that fast, we typically can't even see. It's so far away, you can't even see individual stars. You're now looking at galaxies. So relativity does come in for what things are moving apparently very fast, but that's beyond the scope of our conversation today. These are fairly small in mass, We're still talking about a whole star, and they're still moving, slowly, even though we're still talking about tens of miles a second or more.
Right. Okay.
But compared to the speed of light, which is 300,000 kilometers per second.
It's poking along.
Totally.
They're strolling.
Yeah.
They're out just having a nice Sunday walk in the
galaxy.
Taking
their time easily. Yeah. In the end, if you want to know how fast the star is moving in space, you need both what we call the proper motion and their radial velocity. And you add those two vectors, and the combination is their actual speed in space. So we are able to do this for literally hundreds of thousands of stars in our galaxy. So we can put together the picture of how the whole galaxy, based on the movement of individual stars, what would that look like from the outside?
Oh.
So we understand more about the dynamics within our galaxy and actually beyond.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned something before we turned on the microphones that, of course, made me think of ambulances.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Doppler shift. And so where does that come into the kind of measurements that we're doing here?
Right. Thank you for asking, because I would have lost that thought. Thanks. So the Doppler shift that you might be familiar with is the one where a police officer is standing by the side of the road. They have what we call a radar gun, right? They send a very specific frequency off a car. And when the car, depending on how fast the car is going, that will change the frequency, the known frequency. And depending on how much it changed, that shows you how fast the car is moving. So that will give you that relative motion of the car with respect to the standing officer.
Okay.
That is based on the Doppler shift. And that's what happens with light. The same is true of stars. Now, we can't, these stars are way too far for us to bounce light to them and come back. That's simply not possible. But what we do see is that the light that they send has been shifted. As the star is coming toward us, the wavelengths hit us a little faster, so that makes for a shorter wavelength. It turns to the blue, whereas a star that's moving away from us, those wavelengths get stretched out and the wavelength appears longer.
So and that's how we can
red.
Tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is, it is the Doppler shift that makes this shift from the blue to the red.
Very cool.
But it's something that we see as opposed to something that we hear. If you stand at the side of the road and a car is coming toward you, the frequency is going to be, the pitch is high, and it drops as it leaves you behind.
So there's the sound equivalent of the shift that's happening with the light.
That's right.
As it gets closer to you.
As it's approaching you,
it's higher.
The pitch is high, and as it leaves you behind, it drops.
Right. And the famous examples of the European sirens that come towards you and then they change as they go past you.
Yeah.
The dee 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 dee. And you're right, they get lower as they go away from you.
Well, our sound is also acknowledging that it's also going to get softer because they're literally also getting away from us. But the point is that the sound of a car changes as it passes us by. As it approaches us, it's high pitched, and as it leaves us behind, it gets that the low pitch.
And so we have the light equivalent in stars.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Wouldn't it be funny if stars made that kind of noise?
It'd be very noisy out there.
It would be very noisy out there. It was like, oh, wait, there goes, or wait, let's see, what's a close one? Andromeda?
The Andromeda galaxy is not close.
It's not close.
No.
Okay.
The closest star that, you know, would be a household name would be Sirius.
Okay. So, yeah, as Sirius goes by, you have that particular sound. Oh, there it goes.
There it goes. Happily for us, we can't really hear sound because there's not much air to push things around. But it's funny to imagine the congestion.
Yes. the celestial congestion. And that will have to keep us until next time. And Jean, it is always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you so much. Pleasure for me as well.
Gene Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee and our regular astronomy contributor. She spoke with Lake Effect's Bonnie North.